Thanks for tuning in to the Inside Transportation Podcast, a production of Inside.com. This is our weekly podcast where we discuss transportation trends that you need to know about to stay ahead of the curve. My name is Johan Marino, and as always, I am joined here by angel investor, podcaster, Inside.com CEO, and the Howard Stern of San Mateo County, Jason Calcanis. How's it going?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Stern Show.
Is that my new moniker? Howard? Somebody did call me
I saw
Howard Stern of Silicon Valley. You saw that tweet, I guess.
Yes.
Where somebody said I was the best interviewer.
Described. Yes. But,
I'll take it.
How's it hanging?
You know, I've had enough of this pandemic, and the 13th month of 2020 is just exhausting, but I feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel, thanks to people like you who took the vaccine. Thanks for being in the trial.
I know, and I'm glad I didn't have a crazy allergic reaction like many people are having right now with the vaccines.
But
everything's
going to
work out.
I don't know if it's many, but it's right. They had a handful, and I don't even think it was that bad of an allergic reaction, and a little bit of reaction happens. It's not like the end of the world.
Right, man. Well, hey.
At least based on what I've heard.
Yes. Catching up on, you know, look, 2020 came to an end, but the news didn't stop.
It did not.
Right? The news didn't stop. Things just kept happening, you know, 2020 going into 2021. And we have yet to talk about this piece of news that happened over, I would say, the winter break, even though it's already we're already well into January, but there's reports that keep coming out on Apple entering the automotive industry. So I actually read a Financial Times report yesterday that said Apple is highly likely to enter the auto industry with plans to sell self-driving and electric vehicles. The company would likely have these vehicles manufactured by a third party, very similar to how they produce iPhones. So this follows up a report that came out in December that said Apple was going to target production by 2024 and would develop its own breakthrough battery technology. But the two pieces of news that came out last week that kind of added fuel to the fire was that Hyundai, and you know the golden rule about Apple, if you're working with Apple, never talk about it, right?
No, Hyundai the came first out, rule of Fight Club is you never talk about the new iPod. Or iPhone.
Exactly.
Yes. But Steve Jobs was, and I can tell you this from, you know, having, run the company that started Engadget, he was not pleased when we would have a leak. Or he would have, I should say, he would not be pleased when he would have a leak. Not us.
Right. Yeah. Remember the iPhone 4 in the bar?
I mean, that was crazy. Yes. Gizmodo famously, what happened in that story, for a small backstory, is the person who got that phone, it was an iPhone 4 prototype left in a bar by accident. Mm. And what happened was the person who, I guess, stole it or didn't return it, I guess, as a form of stealing, however you want to phrase it, he brought it to Engadget first. And my guys at Engadget said, hey, he wants $500 for this. What is your thinking? And I was like, I think I don't want to go to jail. Oof. For buying a stolen item. That's what I think. I don't know. What do you guys think? And they were like, we thought the same exact thing, boss. And I was like, yeah, let's stay out of jail. Rule number one in publishing. Stay out of jail.
But I know Gizmodo was blacklisted from Apple events, I think, until maybe a few years ago. because of that whole ordeal.
We had been blocked because everything goes back to the iPhone 4. The iPhone 4 had AntennaGate. Remember when the antenna happened? And it turned out that AntennaGate was something that occurred. If you held the phone a certain way, it would short circuit and the antenna would hang up the call, would drop the call. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was somebody put AntennaGate in a comment on Engadget. Then like the overnight editor said, you know, inside AntennaGate as like the thing, and then it trended the next day. And then other people started using the term AntennaGate, and Jobs knew that we were the first to use it, or somebody in our comment section was. He was not happy. He banned us from the next event. And then I told him, I was like, listen, you guys pulled our credentials while we were in San Francisco. my team is there, and we've covered every single Steve note. We named it the Steve note, and they created the live blog for it. So anyway, it was a pretty crazy back and forth. And then at like 2 a.m., Steve Jobs emailed me and said, "You're good." And he pulled the thing. So I
emailed him personally. And I remember those days because Engadget and Gizmodo were the two biggest blogs out there.
They were the number one and the number two blogs in the world. Yes. Person created it. Peter Rojas created Gizmodo. And then I lured him away from Gizmodo and offered him equity in Weblogs Inc., the company that created Engadget, Joystick, Autoblog, et cetera. And he left. Yeah.
Yes. So background for Hyundai last week saying they were in early talks to produce cars for Apple.
Not anymore.
This week, whoop.
that's a quick way to lose your, yeah.
Yeah, I think the last time that happened, Dr. Dre had said, you know, they were in talks to sell Beats to Apple, and the deal, you know, did go through, but
it almost
who knows what's
going
to happen in this case. Yeah, another thing we learned last week, Apple was interested in working with Canoo. So Canoo's this EV startup. They're developing this scalable electric vehicle platform. A report from The Verge said Apple was reportedly interested in multiple options with Canoo, anything from an investment to an acquisition, because they wanted to use their technology. But Canoo was more interested in taking on an investment from Apple, and talks broke down. Right now, Magna International is seen as the leading candidate to manufacture the Apple car. So right now, Magna actually has contracts to produce vehicles for BMW, Daimler, Jaguar, Land Rover, and Toyota. But Foxconn, you know, the giant Taiwanese maker of iPhones, is also getting into the automotive space, and they want to also win this contract, right? So there's a little bit of a war going on there with all these automakers. This comes off the news that Tim Cook snubbed Elon Musk on a potential Tesla acquisition deal at 1/10 of Tesla's current value. Now, Jason, we all know right now Tesla's the king when it comes to making electric vehicles. They're making the most innovative cars out there in the marketplace. And then you see all these fledging EV startups creating really cool cars, right? A lot of them not yet in production, but that's another story. But you know, do you think there is space for Apple to get into the automotive industry? What are some of your thoughts there?
It's interesting. You know, I had written an article a couple of years ago saying Apple should buy Tesla for $75 billion. And that's when the company was worth like $20 billion. Because, you know, when you buy a company, you have to pay a premium, right?
Right.
So when Slack got bought recently by Salesforce, they paid $10 or something, whatever it was, over the current stock price. So now Tesla's way too big to be bought by anybody. So they are going to be an independent company, unless they were to merge possibly with another company. But it would be very hard to do because, you know, Tesla's been on quite a tear of the stock. It's got a lot of retail investors who are investing in it based on where they think it will be in 10 years, right?
Absolutely.
So they're really making a, you know, a decade-long bet, which in some ways is good. You know, it's good for the stock market to have, you know, a lot of folks putting small amounts of money in to bet that this thing, you know, will become world-changing at some point. So I'm not against that at all. I think it's kind of cool. That being said, Apple can create a car. Yeah, of course. They can produce iPhones. It's not easy. It would be a bigger manufacturing challenge, and I would think it would take them, you know, 6-7 years to get it right. So I would think the soonest we would see a car from them would be 7 years from now, 2027, 2028, you know, basically closer to 2030 than to 2020. That's for sure.
I think they were saying 2024 is the target.
No way.
So you don't think they're going to get there?
I would think it's impossible because, you know, there's a lot of safety and it would be a bit of a moving target. Like they would have to get self-driving going on it.
Right.
And that's a big data play. And I mean, look at how long it took Apple to get iCloud, previously known as MobileMe, right. You know, it took them like close to a decade to make that work. And look at the iWatch, like, or the Apple Watch, rather. The watch was terrible for the first 5 versions. So Apple's been used to putting out, you know, let's call it mediocre product, you know, or okay product, and getting forgiven for their incredible design. I bought those over-the-ear headphones.
Yes, the AirPods Max Pro. Yeah.
They're terrible.
You had any trouble with them?
tons of trouble with them. They couldn't connect. They would drop. They would get into battles. My iPad, my iPhone, would go back and forth. Tried to get support on it. You know, everybody's having problems. It's a $600 pair of headphones, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So, you know, it typically takes them four or five versions. And with a car, you don't really get four or five versions because people's life depend on it. And it goes, you know, down the road.
I mean, we've already seen what Tesla went through with the Model 3, that first iteration of Model 3s where brutal. Some of them had defects, right? And everyone just turned on them.
Yeah, I mean, even before that, I mean, the Roadster, then the Model S, then the Model X, and the doors on the Model X. I mean, this is a complexity of manufacturing that transcends making a smartphone. That is for sure. I mean, just the battery alone, the battery technology in a smartphone is like one battery cell, and this is like hundreds of battery cells. It's just a level of complication that Apple's never built anything remotely close, I think, to as complicated and with as much on the line. So that's probably why they want to work with somebody like
it too, right?
What's that?
Because the delivery process of a car versus a phone, you know, if especially if they're exporting these cars from, let's say they're making them in Europe, let's say they're making them in China, transporting them over to the US, which I'm assuming is going to be one of the core markets for this car. It's a lot of money. It takes a lot of, you know, money to transport cars around.
I like them making the bet. I will say that. I like them making the bet, but I would have very cautious. I would be very cautious about my expectation of when this thing is actually going to arrive and how good it will be in the first two or three versions. All that being said, you know, they do have some really great partners in Foxconn. They do have battery technology. They do have, you know, some fabrication technologies. They obviously know how chips work.
Right. They have a lot of money, too. It helps to have money.
They have a giant, giant slush fund they can do whatever they want with. I mean, if they were going to do this, I don't know why they wouldn't just go buy BMW. You know, that was Steve Jobs' favorite car. So
right.
What is the market cap of, you know, BMW? The market cap of BMW is...
Let's look it up.
Let's see. It's Bayer Scher Morton Werke AG. Is it part of something else? BMW?
I think that's the name they do business as. But I am looking right now.
The market cap.
So it
doesn't
like
have the market
billion,
cap.
I think.
How much?
44 billion. 44 billion.
Huh. So 44 billion euros, so slightly more. And then how much cash does Apple have? Apple cash position, Apple 2020. Cash. Let's just take a look here. Yeah. They've got 200 billion or so.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, seems to me that owning BMW, which also owns Rolls-Royce, would be a much better approach here. And they own the Mini, right?
The best approach I think they could have taken was just acquiring Tesla, which they had the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
But Tim Cook didn't even want to pick up the phone. I think that's going to be one of the greatest blunders in tech history.
For sure.
That we're going to look back and kind of laugh at Apple for doing. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, we're heading into the Joe Biden era. You know,
You know what the actual problem would have been if they actually had bought Tesla is that there was already, like, you know, Robert Scoble and whoever else on Twitter saying, you know, Elon is the new Steve Jobs. And then you would have had this thing. It's like, when is Elon taking over Apple? When is he going to be the CEO of Apple? So it would have just created like an untenable situation, I believe, between, you know, Elon and Tim Cook, where Tim Cook would be like, well, I'm not as popular as Elon. I don't have this many, you know, tens of millions of Twitter followers, et cetera. So I think that, and they also don't like to buy things. I mean, look, we're looking at a very easy purchase to buy BMW and make it a subsidiary. You know, that would be like them buying 25 Beats by Dre. And so they can easily afford it, but they, you know, they've the largest purchase they made, I think, is Beats. They may have made a couple of other enabling technology purchases, but yeah, they suffer from a, we have to build it here, we have to make it here. And owning BMW Mini and then making, you know, using the BMW platform and manufacturing experience to make Apple cars would have been a great move.
And it's already a profitable company too. BMW brings in profits, right? But yeah, I mean, I think now that we're heading into the Joe Biden era, I think this is where electric vehicles are going to make sense for Apple. I mean, I envision that the U.S. over the next few years is going to try to accelerate electric vehicle buying and offer generous incentives. And that's why I think they're making the decision finally to kind of get into the space. I mean, if you really think about it, wireless carriers have been subsidizing Apple's business for years. Not saying that no one would buy iPhones if there were no subsidies, but subsidies help a lot. So maybe Apple's even seeing the opportunity that's coming ahead with all these EV mandates that are going into place in Europe, in China, and you know, hopefully in the US in the coming years. But yes, 100%. Exciting things to come with Apple. When we come back from the break, is it the end of the Model S and X as we know it? We'll discuss briefly here on the Inside Transportation Podcast right after this break.
Hey, everybody. Just want to let you know that this episode of Inside Transportation is sponsored by our friends at the Ford Motor Company, built on the belief that freedom of movement drives human progress from connectivity to autonomy. Ford has one simple goal, and that's to improve the mobility of its customers. Ford has been using technology to shape the future of transportation for over 100 years and is dedicated to solving the world's most pressing mobility issues. What you might not know is that Ford has a series of divisions that make these visions a reality. Ford X is Ford's venture incubator that unites entrepreneurs, designers, and engineers to shape the future of transportation. Ford's City Innovations team brings innovative ideas to life through community workshops, crowdsourcing initiatives, and citywide mobility challenges. And Spin, a property of Ford, brings e-scooter sharing to cities and college campuses. So here's your call to action. To learn more about Ford's work in mobility, autonomous vehicles, and their global efforts to improve mobility for its customers, visit corporate.ford.com. That's corporate.ford.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Transportation Podcast. Jason Calcanis, Johan Marino, talking about the hottest mobility and transportation news of the week. Now, Jason, did you hear that this might be the end of the road for the Model S and X as we know it?
I did not hear that. That is a very interesting rumor.
Yeah. So Tesla has informed its employees to liquidate all existing Model S and X inventory by the end of January in all stores in all markets. This also follows the news that Tesla shut down Model S and X production lines in December 2020 due to a production shutdown on both lines, which has been extended into January. There's a low likelihood that they're just going to discontinue the model completely, but it's very likely that both vehicles are going to go through a significant refresh, although none of these reports have been confirmed. That this follows the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration asking Tesla to recall over 100,000 Model S and X vehicles over a problem with that MCU unit. You know, that big old screen in the middle of the car with the giant computer in the back, which can affect functionality with the vehicle. This also follows the release schedule that's coming up with the Model S with the Plaid powertrain, which should be out in late 2021. A project reported on by Electric in July 2020 indicated the automaker was creating new production lines for both the Model S and X, but we're all speculating that there's going to be a refreshed Model S and X coming out in the next few months. Jason, what do you want to see in the new S and X? What are some improvements you'd like to see? What are some nice cues you'd like to see changed around the car?
You know, I think those cars are classics, and they're loved. The X is a little bit expensive, I think, and the gullwing doors, the falcon doors, rather, are polarizing and confusing for people. So if you've never used them, you could bang into them, just like you might getting in and out of a Lamborghini or whatever. So, you know, you never had a car where the doors opened like that before, right? With the exception of DeLoreans or whatever. So, you know, many people, I think it took an adjustment, but if you're buying a DeLorean or a Lamborghini, you know, that's, you're kind of buying into that experience. And I think for people with the Model X, they were just like, I don't know if I want to wait for the doors to open this long and, you know, that kind of stuff. It was
they are pretty annoying. Almost,
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, like, I love them. I love the ability that I just press the buttons and all of them doors open and the people can get in and out really quick. I love them. I think they're brilliant. That being said, many people don't like them because they are, you know, take a little while to open and they're complicated and all that kind of stuff. So I would like to see them keep those going. But to be totally honest, the Model Y has become the car that if my wife and I are both going out, she will take my Y over her X. And, you know, then I'm driving the X from 10 years ago and I'm like, where's my Y? And she just likes it, you know? So Tesla is a victim of their own success in this regard because their cars get so much better each time. Like even the 3 to the Y I felt was a giant jump. Right. And we had, who did we have on the pod who rips the cars apart? And he was talking
Sandy
about
Monroe.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandy was just like, yeah, this is the HVAC is completely new. This is completely new. The wiring for the electronics are really new. So I bet that's what's happening is they're going to have to re-engineer the S and the X. And listen, Tesla now has the bandwidth and the money to do this. The question are those cars going to be niche cars? You know, and are the 3 and the Y, you know, the platform cars, and it would be better to just keep focusing on them.
I mean, when you look at the delivery numbers, so in 2020, Tesla delivered about 57,000 Model S and X cars combined. That's a combined figure. Combined, the Model 3 and Y sold about 442,000, right?
Right.
So it's a lot more.
And basically 100x, like,
right. I mean, so... But I don't even think it's the fact that people don't want to buy the model, you know, S and X because they're too expensive. I think it's just an old car now. It's basically the same design from when you got your Model S, right? How many years ago? Like 7?
More.
Wow. More.
I mean, I have the first one, right? So whatever it was June of what year did the Model S come out? Model S release year. Like, I literally had the car 2012. Yeah, so it's been 9 years. It was June I remember it was June because all the press were trying to, over the summer, like, literally point cameras over the fence at my house in L.A. to take pictures of it.
Yeah, so it's been, like, 9 years. So it's time. It's time to, you know, come out with a refreshed vehicle. Mm. Although I know Tesla's very hesitant about it because they're like, you know, we're just going to make minor improvements to the car along the way. But, you know, many of these 3 and Y cars are already kind of in the $50,000 range, if you really think about it, when you account for upgrades. And I think the Plaid powertrain is going to be a huge upgrade. And I know it's going to be in those new cars. I don't actually think the exterior design of the car is going to change, but I fully expect them to drop that vertical MCU, you know, that vertical screen in the S and X. I think they're going to replace the Model 3.
It makes it with the Model. Yeah, because it's too much work to have two different interfaces like that. That's just a lot of work. I mean, Apple has to deal with that with the iPhone and the iPad. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of, if not billions of those units being produced or combined, certainly billions. And, you know, it's one thing to maintain that amount of software for billions of phones and iPads. Right. It's another thing for 50,000 cars. So that means every time they do a refresh. And I know this because I'll get the refresh on my landscape mode car, you know, Teslas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I will get the update for the S and the X and, you know, whatever, a couple of days later. And it's obvious there's somebody maintaining that. And then I still have the Roadster, which... the software that doesn't have over-the-air updates. So, you know, it just goes to show the infrastructure you need to have to maintain product lines, right? Like, it's so many product lines.
Absolutely.
It does take a lot of work.
Engineering talent, right? I mean, you could be using some of that engineering talent that you're using to, you know, program for that vertical screen. But yeah, no, I definitely think they're coming out with a new S and X. I'm pretty excited for it. If anyone wants to send a test car out.
What do you think the major difference will be?
The major difference is going to be that middle MCU, Plaid powertrain. Range, I think, is going to be a lot better on those new cars.
That'd be great.
The other thing I was going to say, because, you know, the Model S and X are pretty standard on the inside. They don't feel like a luxury car, like something you're paying almost, you know, $100,000 for. So I think there might even be improvements to the interior experience of the car. So there might be nicer leather. It might feel like more of a luxury car. I don't know if you agree with me on that. Do you think that the interior of the S and the X need a little bit of work?
I guess so, yeah. I haven't been in, to be totally honest, I haven't been in the latest editions of those. You know, I have a 2015 or 16X and then the 2012S. So I'm definitely, you know, 5-8 years behind on these. And, you know, the thing that was really crazy about, I guess, our Model X is I have the 90, I think, D, and it only gets like 210 or 20 miles range. And that is the key issue is when I go on long haul trips, if we take the X, it's 3 stops down to LA. If I take the Y, it's 1 or yeah. 2 short ones, you know, 2 15-minute updates. So I think there's a lot of battery efficiency that will probably come to those other vehicles. But yeah, it's hard to maintain all of these. And then, but I think that's why they're high priced, right? I think they will be their luxury versions of the cars and they'll be very high priced and they'll have good margin on them. So
yes.
That's the other thing is they must have really good margin if you're selling them for 90, yeah. What are they, 90,000, 120,000 each? Like, these are not cheap cars. But that was one thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I would be hard pressed. I think if 10 people drove an X and the Y, unless they really needed that third row for adults, you know, I think they're going to go with the Y. I just like mm-hmm. the Y better. So,
and it's a lot cheaper too.
Buy two.
Save a lot of money.
Buy two.
Yeah, take the savings and buy yourself a 3, basically.
I mean, that's one of the things I realized with these cars is that, you know, for example, with my Corvette, like you look at a Corvette versus a Lamborghini or something, it's like, it's like a third of the price or a fourth of the price. You can buy 4 Corvettes or 3 Corvette Stingrays for $80,000. And
right.
That's the cost of a used, you know, Ferrari or something. Yeah, if you yeah. can get one.
Yeah. If you can get one. And you've told that story on the podcast. Oof. If you want to learn more, I think it's episode 20, which is when we were with Doug DeMuro.
Yes.
You told us your Corvette story. Well, hey, we're going to go on to the next topic here on our podcast, which Waymo is no longer using the term self-driving, and we're going to get to that right after this break. This episode of Inside Transportation is sponsored by Ford Motor Company, built on the belief that freedom of movement drives human progress, from connectivity to autonomy, AI to machine learning. Ford has one simple goal: to improve mobility for its customers. To learn more about Ford's work in mobility, autonomous vehicles, and their global efforts to improve mobility for its customers, visit corporate.ford.com. That's corporate.ford.com. And we're back here on Inside Transportation. Johan Reno, Jason Calcanis. So at the beginning of the year, Waymo said it was no longer going to use the term self-driving to describe the company's autonomous driving technology. In a more detailed explanation at CES, Waymo CEO John Krafcik, I think that's how you say it, offered some more insight on why the company made the move, saying, "What's the self?" He went on to say that the term self-driving did not accurately describe the technology the company was building, saying, "Is the self the car? If so, it doesn't really do good service to the product we're working on. Our sole product at Waymo is the driver. So when you say self-driving, it takes Waymo out of the equation." But really, they've just shifted all the terms, you know, all their terminology. They've shifted away from self-driving to autonomous driving. The industry officials say this is a bigger problem in the industry because consumers are a little bit confused as to what self-driving truly means. As we all know, true self-driving doesn't require a driver behind the wheel, but some automakers are already using this term to describe level 3 and level 4 automated driving. Tesla, they're using full self-driving for their software. And yes, it's a very good software. It works very efficiently, but you still need to be behind the wheel of a Tesla. Jason, what are some of your thoughts on dropping this term self-driving, and what are some of your ideas as far as, you know, how we can kind of accelerate or avoid the confusion with consumers, right? What are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, my initial reaction, and maybe this is a little too cynical, was maybe he's hedging that it's not self-driving, it's autonomous, and, you know, why not just say level 4 or level 5 or whatever? Right. And maybe they are not confident that they're going to have no steering wheel in the car. And, you know, that was my cynical, thought on it. And it seems to me like there is something going on where I think the entire industry is taking a maybe 10-year approach now. Because like 5, 6, 7 years ago when Cruise was getting started and Waymo right. was starting to, you know, uncover and share a little bit of what they're doing. That was like 5, 6, 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
It seems like everybody is spinning out these units or raising money for them. We saw Uber spun out theirs. And then I saw just a couple of days ago, Cruise, Kyle Voigt.
Yes.
Said Cruise was going to raise $2 billion of new funding from Microsoft, GM, Honda, and some other institutional investors. And then he put the vanity metric, $30 billion post-money valuation, the real metric, 0 million customers. and he goes on this little thing to sort of explain all of this. And it. And I asked him, I actually asked him, when do you think, I replied to him 9 hours ago from the time we're taping this, when do you predict a car without a steering wheel will take a passenger from JFK to a hotel in Manhattan? And he didn't reply.
Well, which is, I wonder, you know, I why.
Well, I actually, as a verified account and, you know, member who does of the, you know, sort of extended press as a commentator, usually I would expect some sort of reply. Right. You know, so I think what's happening is most people don't think this is going to happen without a steering wheel, without a driver for 10 years.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's part of it.
They're starting to realize how hard this is.
Right, right. And then we haven't even gone through the whole legislation piece of it, you know? And I think one thing that we're going to be seeing over the next few years with this administration mm-hmm. is that the transportation department is going to have a more involved role with self-driving cars and regulations, right? It's just what we've seen with Democrat, leadership. So I think that that's going to be there. So there may be more restrictions on how companies can actually operate these vehicles. Ideally, no steering wheel, no driver. That's the vision, right? That's the vision we all wanted by 2020. Looks like it didn't happen in 2020. It's probably not going to happen in even 2025. It's still going to take a while. But I think this is more of a direct hit at Tesla, right? Because I know the CEO of Waymo and Elon have some beef. I mean, I have some concerns with using the term self-driving at this point because we're still in like inning two, maybe not even inning two, maybe at the end of the
don't they call
one?
It autopilot or no full self-driving?
Full self-driving, yeah,
is the term, right? So there's autopilot, which is what's on my X,
yes,
stay in the lane, do adaptive cruise control, and then there's full self-driving, FSD,
right? And that's the auto steer on city streets. So do you have that update yet?
I have it, and it's very impressive when it stops at a red light, I have to say. I don't have there's one with the visualization and all that kind of stuff. I don't have that, even though I put a switch on it to, I put that switch on it so that you get the more recent updates or the beta.
Right,
but
right.
I haven't gotten it, so I think they put that out in very limited release. But, you know, if the roads are not painted perfectly and there are, you know, things like cars double parked or kids on bicycles, you know, I think it's going to be some time before, you know, in a hilly, you know, Bel Air type neighborhood, these things are going to, any of the technology is going to work to the level we need it to, or consumers are going to be fine with it. Obviously on highways, it's fantastic. And that's where I think all the effort should be, is just make highways perfect and let's get to a point where the regulations allow us to be on a highway with such amazing dexterity and safety that you could actually, you know, type on a laptop or something or watch a movie on the center console. That would be just perfect. I think what that would do for the economy if everybody who was on the 405 could be watching Netflix while they're in their car, you know, and there was no chance of a fender bender and all the cars in the, just give the left lane to self-driving vehicles. You get self-driving, you're in the left lane, boom. And I think that's going to be what we'll realize is the only way to really get this technology to where it needs to be is for some city, state, region, Southwest, Arizona, Texas, whatever, to say, on these five highways, we're going to have self-driving lanes, and we're testing them for the next decade. But, you know, I think this is pretty far out still.
Yeah.
Because of the edge cases.
Yeah, I think the one thing that, you know, I'm going to close off on is just standardization of terms, right? Because I think that would be one thing that everyone would benefit from. Because, you know, we do have the different levels of autonomy where it's like, okay, level five is completely self-driving. You don't even need to be on a road. You can be out on a dirt path and it'll just drive. But having more standardized the terminology just to, you know, avoid confusing people on what full self-driving is.
What do you think
it
should be called?
That's a tough question because it's not full self-driving. If it was full self-driving, you could sleep in the car. And that's not the case right now, sadly. I would honestly
just
call it,
like, I want to be able to watch a movie. I want to watch, you know, the Knicks play while I'm on the highway.
On that, that big old Tesla screen,
100%. That would be the huge win. And they finally put Spotify in the center console. So that's amazing. You know, to be
able to
just pop up, you know, your Spotify playlists and not have to connect your phone or worry about that. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, pretty sure. Well, hey, let's close off the show with Dope or Nope. Dope or Nope is back.
Oh, good. What do
today,
we got? What do we got?
I don't know if you saw.
Car? Is it an SUV? What do you got for me?
It's a logo. It's a logo. Everyone's been talking about this new logo.
That's super disappointing. I don't want to see some hot or not car. But okay, let's do the logo. It's just a GM logo.
Next time around, we will have the hot car. I was looking for a good car, but, you know, beginning of the year.
Hyundai?
But this, you know, GM wants consumers to know that they're behind their legacy past where they tried to destroy electric vehicles and pollute the universe. And they rolled out a new logo to excite us about their electric future. Now, we're going to put this logo, a link in the show notes, but this is the new General Motors logo. Instead of the traditional GM logo, which is just two letters capitalized in a blue square, this is now a rounded square with the letters non-capitalized, and it says GM. Jason, thoughts?
Well, you know, I always look to Twitter for the most cynical, funny reactions. And my favorite reaction goes to Big Friendly Rep. Matt is his name on January 15th, who says, if you flip it to the left counterclockwise, it spells Elon.
I saw that.
Which
one
was kind of a Keith Raniere kind of like flip the branding left. I don't know if you watched The Vow, the story about like that Scientology knockoff cult.
No. I haven't seen that. No.
Oh, God. Anyway, this crazy Vow documentary, anybody who's seen it, it's this crazy guy, like brands all these, I mean, it's sick and weird, but all these women get this branding of this logo and they don't know what it is until finally, like, they turn it sideways and it's like, oh, it's Keith Raniere's initials. It's KR. But no, it looks like garbage. It's lowercase. I can't even tell the difference from the previous one. It's not that radically different. And so it's a hard nope for me. And nobody cares about your goddamn logo. They just want an electric car. So get back to work.
Yeah,
self-driving and electric.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, I think GM's just been really... I mean, I don't know. Did you see that ad with Malcolm Gladwell? They hired like Malcolm Gladwell to be the spokesperson for GM's electric vehicle offerings. And I'm like, why?
And these are stories that you wouldn't expect. But why is that? Why would an electric car go further than a gas car? Well, I was about to find out. I'm working on my Malcolm Gladwell, but it is literally like Malcolm Gladwell has sold out for EVs. I always found it weird because I know Malcolm Gladwell from New York. I mean, I don't know him that well, but I've met him a couple times. And I always find it weird when he does commercials.
Right.
And like on his podcast, they did a Blue Apron commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And he like actually cooks the Blue Apron with his team at his podcasting company, Pushkin Industries. And he said, this chicken is delicious. Oh, this is great. And I was just like, wow, Malcolm Gladwell from Blue Apron. And you know, like it's one thing for me to read a commercial or you to read a commercial, but right, Malcolm right. Gladwell doing commercials? Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes for GM. Looks like things are going to be exciting.
How's the Bolt doing?
What's up?
How's their Bolt doing? The Chevy Bolt, right?
is not doing too well.
What was the range on the Bolt? Like 40 miles? 99 miles? I mean, how did they get everything so wrong?
The mileage isn't the problem. The problem is that the car is so small that nobody wants it. So what they're doing is they're going to refresh the Bolt, but they're going to make it into a crossover SUV. So
I mean, they seem like they're spinning. It literally, this is reminds me of the dot-com era where you would have companies like Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. Would then spin out their .com and create another IPO. Do you remember that? Or was that before your time?
That was before my time, but I'm aware of that. Right?
Yes, and so it's like then people realize, no, dummy, it's omnichannel. It's one thing. Like the consumers don't look at Toys R Us, the store, and Toys R Us, the online store, as two different things.
Right.
And GM has always put their electric vehicles over here on the right, like in this like you know little tent. And then there's like their main stuff. Like electric is the thing. Just make the existing car, make the Cadillac, make, you know, the GMC, whatever that is, Yukon or Tahoe. I don't know what the GMC brands are. What is the Suburban? I always like this. I always wanted a Suburban. Is that a GMC Suburban?
GMC Suburban.
Like, just make the Suburban hybrid and then make it electric. And this whole idea of like the... You know, everything's an afterthought. It's just weird. I just found the whole thing weird. And the Hummer, wasn't that like the whole Hummer going to be like $100,000?
Yes, the GMC Hummer. I think it starts at $112,000. Yeah.
These guys are lost.
I mean, what's the Cybertruck like?
60? 50? It was like 50 or 35? 60, right? It was nothing.
I think it was like, let me look this up. It's way less than that.
Do the people at do they have internet at their company where they can look up the news? Like, how do they produce something that's so out of sync with the market? Like, who's buying the Hummer for $100,000 when the Cybertruck is coming out?
You know, $39,000, by the way.
For $39,000 goddamn dollars. It's crazy. Yeah. You could buy four of them or three of them.
Exactly. But we'll see how things go. We're just the observers.
I always liked the Suburban. I always dreamed of getting a Suburban.
That's a baller car, Jason.
Well, you know what I liked? It was like I was always thinking about being in the FBI. I was going to be in the FBI. And I was like, well, I always wanted to have a Suburban, you know?
That's a part of your motorcade.
That's what I want. I wanted like a bulletproof Suburban. And now the Cybertruck is... probably going to be bulletproof. I mean, they threw that big metal ball at it and it broke.
Did you pre-order it? Did you pre-order it already?
I didn't pre-order it, but I know a guy over there, so sometimes I can get an early one if I. I know a guy.
All right, we'll be waiting for the review. I
you
should also...
get the Founder Series. You know, the Founder Series is like the prototypes that come out early.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll probably. Get
anyway, well, thank you everyone for joining us today. We had a blast. And we'll see you all next week on Inside Transportation. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Take care, everyone.